Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I get together and we answer questions that y'all have sent in. And boy, there's been a ton of them, so there's some good ones today. So let's see what we can do with it, Angel. Let's just jump in the middle and see if we can swim.
We might need to start with a word of prayer.
Come on. God bless us. God help us.
God, thank you for your wisdom.
Yes, thank you for your wisdom, Father.
Let's do a little funny to get started today. Joe, did you know that hell hath no fury like a toddler whose sandwich has been cut into squares when they wanted a triangle?
I've been there, baby. I have been there. Yes, I am.
Or if you've left the crust on.
Oh!
I remember Sumner, my son, wanted one day, he said, could you make me a sandwich like Gump? Remember Gumby and Pokey? And Pokey, they'd bite the corners out of the square, and he wanted to do it just like Gumby and Pokey. So I'm like, I don't know what Gumby and Pokey, what kind of sandwich it is. So I tried a cheese sandwich. Didn't go over well. then he watched SpongeBob one day, and he wanted a Krabby Patty. Could you make me a Krabby Patty? And I would go, bling, you're a Krabby Patty.
That didn't go over good.
I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, he didn't think it was too funny. Joe, did you know that the nurse handed me my newborn and said, you got this? And the first thing that crossed my mind was, 12 hours ago, I was digging through the garbage to find the instructions for the mac and cheese.
Yeah. Woo, it's going to get deep. It's going
to
get deep.
I remember when my son was handed to me. I was almost 30. I'd never babysat. I was terrified.
Yeah.
And they said, where's your car seat?
My what?
I said,
what?
Exactly what I said. They go, well, you got to buy one now at the hospital. Now, I had to pay cash.
The car came with seats. What are you talking about?
We were broke. We didn't have insurance. So I had to pay online. I had to do monthly payments to pay for my birth. And then I had to stretch my faith because I wanted an epidural. And I wasn't brave, and I went with the epidural. So they said, you got, this was back in 92. And I said, they said, you got to have a car seat. And I said, oh. So they made me buy a $60 car seat, which was huge.
Huge.
To me.
Massive.
In those days. And it was a big piece of plastic junk that was like, I had a.
And it was legal.
It was legal for the one trip.
Yeah.
To the local Toys R Us to pay another $150 for a real car seat. Ooh, parenting.
Just gets cheaper as they get older.
Thank the Lord. My father-in-law bought the best gift that you could give to a new parent. He paid for a year's supply of diapers.
Come on. God bless him.
I really don't know how I would have managed without those diapers showing up.
Thank you, Jesus. So, didn't realize how important they'd be.
Oh.
Till you spend 1 week using up the box that you bought. Are we out? We can't be out.
And I didn't realize how something that weighs less than 10 pounds can change your life so dramatically. I can remember thinking and being dead serious. Before that, I thought I was a great multitasker and organized.
Oh, yeah.
The first week I brought my son home, I can remember thinking, if I could just get a shower today.
Just a
I will feel as if I really accomplished something.
I'll be born again if I can just get a shower. I can just brush my teeth.
Could I just shut this child up for 5 minutes?
Whew.
It was, woo. I had to learn a lot.
Wake up call.
Oh, my. I realized real quick. You know what, Angel? You're selfish.
Yeah. I didn't know how selfish I was until I had a baby. Like, what?
Exactly. real quick, that went away. Real quick. So, yep. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And then
change your life forever.
And then, but you know, this is too true too. I didn't think I could handle two. And then when my daughter came, somehow you could do it.
Yep.
But I remember it take everything I had. I literally would be picked up on Sunday morning by my friend to go to church because she had a baby 2 months before I did. She would literally have to carry in my purse, her purse, my diaper bag, her diaper bag, and her daughter. All I could carry in was my son.
Yeah.
And she was not a big woman.
Jeez.
So then I moved to another state and had to learn how to do it on my own.
Oh.
Yada, yada. There, such is life.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, how do I address disturbing behavior that I see in my kids' friends?
need to get some new friends.
That's easier said than done.
Well,
sometimes.
Number one, you got to say, okay, if I'm there, somebody's asking me this. They say, okay, what's the age of your child? 5? We can fix that right now.
That's true.
10? Yeah, we can fix that right now. 15? We can fix that by 2 o'clock this afternoon. I guarantee you. We're going to change because well, you can't do anything. You can't tell your children how to pick their friends. I said, you're commanded to. I'm going to tell you who your friends will be and won't be, where you're going to go and not go, what time you will go to bed and not go to bed. Next to God, I'm the most powerful thing in your life. It's a blessing. I'll take all the worry off you. Just enjoy life. I'm going to take all the hard stuff for you. I'll make all the hard decisions for you. You just relax and just have a good time. And I've said that. I'm not trying to be funny. Hey, I'll make all the hard decisions. Can we go there? No, don't worry about it. No, you can go. Well, Dad, they're all Christians. No, they're going to stay up 2 o'clock in the morning. No, people go to sleep when it gets dark, and they get up when it gets daylight. It's a real simple system God's got lined out. So I thought real, very natural as a parent. And so, and the other thing was, my dad had, 12 brothers and sisters, so did my father-in-law. So I only had 6 kids. I thought, there's nothing to this. I only have half what they had. And so I'd hear all the horror stories, trying to find a pillow to sleep on and a biscuit to eat, some shoes to wear. Hey, we're not that bad off. We're doing pretty good. So, but we did have to have some standards. So that's the biggest thing about parenting. It's not, you think, man, I had a baby and everybody showed up, hospital, and gave you some cheap gifts, and they all disappeared. They don't show back up, the kid gets out of high school. Like, well, you're on your own for the next 18 years, pretty much. But it's still God's design. It's going to be great for you. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to be real good. Then you just have to have some standards. Well, we'll do this. We don't do this. We listen to that. We don't listen to this. We're going to have a great time. But we do have some rules, regulations, rewards, and punishment. Ephesians 6:4. Train up a child the way they should go. Well, by rules, regulations, rewards, and punishments. There's things we do, and there's things we don't do in this house. Well, they're doing it. We don't live over there. We're living here. And in our house, we don't do that. Woo.
Well,
soften that up.
Well, I don't know that it should be softened up. I mean, I'll give you a different take on it. I had worked with high schoolers for so many years that I saw the damaging effects of poor relationships. And sometimes we just kind of go through life and just allow friends to come and go, and that wasn't the stance I took. I thought this is a very critical part of your upbringing.
Yes, it is.
Jesus was careful when he picked the 12 that
he was
more intimate with,
yes,
and personal. So from the get-go, I told my kids this, and I still would tell them, and they're adults today, both married, but I would still tell them, I have never just let somebody pick me as a friend. I always choose my friends.
Yes.
And I'm very picky with my friends.
We'll take this to Jesus comes as the standard.
And I also said, and I think I've said this before, that I had this saying that I would say to my kids, there's yard dogs and there's house dogs.
Mm.
A house dog is someone that you get to know very well. You cry and tell them when your heart's been broken or you fall down, and they're there to just encourage you. But a yard dog is somebody you just pet on your way out the door to school.
Throw them a biscuit. Throw them a bone.
Most people are yard dogs. There's a handful of house dogs in your life. And I would say to my friends, they would come home and say, Mom, so-and-so did so-and-so. And I'd say, yard dog, house dog. And then I would also say, sometimes somebody may be a house dog for a season.
Yes. Thank you.
You may grow into a different season of life. Different.
You'll grow out of this relationship and into another one.
Right. Or you may have children and your friends don't. As quickly as you do, that will change
the dynamics of your friendships.
You may be more ambitious when you get married than some of your friends that may have gotten a doctorate, but they're waiting on tables over at the local coffee shop. They're just content with how their life is, and you may not be. So those are all things to take into consideration. The biggest thing about your friends is who you hang around, you will become.
The Bible says, if you want to be wise, you walk with wise men, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So you don't want a fool for a friend.
No. And there have been couples. Funny, we were just talking about this the other day. There's two couples that I know that the wife appears to be very kind.
Yeah.
The husband appears to not be so kind, and their daughters appear to be some of those mean girls at school that you want your kids to avoid. And in both cases, I've had people say to me, yeah, but the wife is really nice. And I say, I don't agree. Because how can two walk together unless they be in agreement?
Yes.
She just puts a better face on it.
Yes.
So, but the thing is what you want is not what somebody looks like. You want to know a heart. What is someone's heart like?
I don't want a nice person for a child. I realized something in parenting years ago. I don't want nice kids. I want kids that scare hell when they wake up. I want you to storm the gates of hell. She said, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So I want you to put some extra effort. Don't go 1 mile, go two. Give me a shirt and your coat. I want to learn to give your life away. The more you're going to enjoy life, the more you give your life away, the more you're going to enjoy your life. The more selfish you are, the less you're going to enjoy life and the less friends you're going to have. And so.
And I had rules at my home. You couldn't go spend the night at someone else's home.
Not unless I've been there.
Even then, I was very hesitant because I knew what went on in my home. I don't know what goes on at your home. And I have seen so many kids, and I'm just going to say it, go spend the night somewhere, go on a missions trip, go on a church trip, and a molestation takes place that alters that kid's life for eternity.
Or they go spend the night with somebody, come back, and their brain's been sucked out. You were just gone 24 hours. Where'd your brain go? I let them suck it out.
Yeah.
I think different. I watch different. I sing different. What happened to you? So parenting is critical.
I remember one time I was not home, and my daughter's cousin came over, and we never watched horror movies.
Nope.
And this cousin decided to introduce my daughter to a very scary horror movie.
Nasty movie.
And for years, mind you, and I'm not talking months or weeks, years.
If you get branded.
If my daughter would see a certain animal, she would just about break out into a sweat. And I think, how many years do we have to overcome that one moment I wasn't available? That's the risk that you take.
Guard your heart. Mm-hmm. Guard your heart.
But start as early as you can addressing that with your kids. Let them know how very important that is.
And what you wanted to do, you're trying to get your kid to grow up early. Mm. I don't watch you the rest of your life. I hope you can make decisions when you're 12 on your own. I don't need to wait till you're 22. You better make wise decisions when you're 12. Most of the founding fathers of America, you know, had jobs when they were 12 and 14. You know, Farragut commanded a British warship at age 14. I mean, all the guys, there were no school systems we know it today. You had to become an adult early, earn a job early, learn foreign language early. It's like, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to make money. You know, we're building the country here. So learn early. They can make decisions right now. Help them out.
Yeah. There were little kids on the playground. When my kids were little, I didn't want my kids to learning from their behavior.
Or the verbiage, or the language, or the words, or the jokes.
No.
Whoa. So.
Yeah, hold on. I can remember one day my kids were driving down the road, and I was very strong on what came out of their mouth. And I wouldn't let them fight or anything. And my son was kind of a quiet kid, but my daughter, you know, she was just going. She had this really high Minnie Mouse voice. And one day she got in the car and she's just going 90 nothing, talking about everything under the sun. And finally my son looks over to her and he goes, shh. She goes, Mom, someone just said the bad word to me. And he said, I didn't say the bad word. He goes, you know the bad word is the S word and the F word. And I said, what are those words, son? I mean, he's six, you know, I'm freak out. And then he goes, Mom, you know, STUPID and FART. I'm like,
whoa,
those
son.
Are the bad
yeah,
words.
Those are bad. Yeah, the way I'm much harder.
Those are such bad words. I break out in cold sweat. Thank you, Lord. Those are the bad words. But you want to let them hang on to innocence as long as they possibly can.
Yeah. So, to the pure, all things are pure, even as an adult. That's why you need to guard your heart with all diligence. Out of the issues of life, watch what you feed on, what you read, what you look at. People can go through life and have a great life, enjoy life, be successful, make great money. Well, I didn't feed on stupid or take time to watch stupid or sing stupid. You know, this is my life. I need to guard this. I want to enjoy this, not shoot holes above my boat.
Exactly. So your friends, and you set the example, parents, on what kind of friends you choose.
Tell me who your friends are. I'll tell you what you're going to be like 5 years from now.
You cannot dictate. mandate your children do something that you yourself are not doing.
I know.
Which is a lot of people try that.
Yeah, I know.
And I can't say that I haven't been guilty of that a time or two myself.
You do what I say, not what I do. You better do what I say, not what I do. No, they're going to do what you do.
That is a fact. All right. Joe, should I ever keep things from my spouse if my child asks me to?
No. Never.
What if your spouse has a harsh reaction to something?
The minute you start playing that game, it'll get so deep, so far, so fast, you'll need a psychiatrist and two counselors to get you out of it. Because nobody likes being lied to. Because if you lied once, you've lied before, and you'll lie again. Truth sets you free. Mm. So if you're having a bad reaction, you need to get out. You need to have a relationship with God. Mm. But no, I'm not going to hide anything, because one high leads to two highs, to 20 highs. There's an algebraic equation going on. And eventually they'll learn, well, how long have you been lying to me? How long have you not told me the truth? When could I trust you? How do I trust you now since you've lied so long, so often? Well, I couldn't trust you. Well, how long have you not trusted me? We're married. It's like, we're married? What? And so you got to be real open with one another. And don't yell and scream and holler, but this is the relationship you're going to build. You're either building that relationship or you're shooting holes in the bottom of it. And I'm telling you, the day you start lying, hell's going to show up. The devil's a liar and the father of all liars, and liars go to hell, Revelation says. Nothing good comes from lying. Or hiding. So it's like, I used to share it in this funny way, but I said, you know, being married is like standing butt naked in the middle of the interstate with one another. You can't hide anything. You start hiding stuff, hell's coming. Truth sets you free. So some said, I remember we talked on premarriage one time. These are couples, most have been married just a few years. And so, well, you know, should you share everything? I said, well, I don't hide anything. Somebody asked, did you ever do this? I remember when first marriage, my wife said, did you ever do this? Yes. You did that? Yes. Well, you're kidding. No. Why did you do that? I was a heathen. I was going to hell in a handbasket. I'm trying to sin as often as I could, as much as I could. I look forward to the weekend. That's when you sin. And you sin? I sinned a lot, but I got born again and I repented. So the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. So, yes, so if you want to dig around my past, and I always tell couples, don't ever go into your spouse's past. They don't have a time machine. They can't change anything. Well, did you ever? Have you ever? Did you ever? It's really none of your business. I'm born again. Even in heaven, there's no record of my past in heaven. God himself will not remember my past. God himself, who made the universe, will not remember my past. So why are you digging it up? Let's go build a life together, not dig up dead stuff out of the graveyard. And it's cheating when you do that to one another. So don't do that. Be open, honest, be calm, speak soft, speak slowly.
I agree completely, because the covenant that you have with your spouse, you don't have with your children.
No.
It's a different relationship.
Totally different.
And I would say to your child, don't ask me to do that. That's something that I have a covenant with my spouse. I can't break that. Now,
listen, the power of two in agreement in prayer is you can't even get your head wrapped around it. If one could put a 1,000 flat, two 10,000, you're asking me to not agree with my spouse, you're asking hell to show up. Mm. No, I got to agree with them. We're both for you. So if you share anything with me, I'm probably not to tattle on you. I'm going to share with it, because we're going to pray about it and try to encourage you, get a good answer together. You know, we both see it different. We're going to get the wisdom of God on the thing. But no, I'll share whatever you share with me, I'm going to share with my spouse. And listen, I got six adult kids, and we would tell them, can you keep a secret? No. When I was a school administrator, I'd have students come down the hall. Hey, Mr. G, you got a minute? Can you keep a secret? I said, no, son. If you tell me, I'm going to tell 40 other people. And I'm just being, I wasn't trying to be funny. No. No human can keep a secret. No human. Can you keep a secret? They're lying if they say they can.
But I have seen many spouses not be completely open, and it does open a door to the enemy.
Get nasty's coming.
It does. I agree. Mm. So, I mean, I think as difficult as it may be, I'll try to talk it out with him before we approach you, but yeah. I cannot.
Yeah.
No. I cannot go against my spouse. No. Even on second marriages like we are.
Especially, I started to say it. Especially
because I think that it would be easy to say, hey, I'm a package deal. Me and these kids were here a long time ago. La, 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 la.
No, this is a whole new relationship. This is the highest relationship you can have, a marriage. I don't care if it's your fifth marriage. That's the highest relationship in your life outside you and Jesus.
Yeah. So after you get out of counseling, you can send us a follow-up letter.
You get delivered and redeemed. Praise God. God bless you.
Guys, we have so enjoyed talking to you today. We so enjoy our time. We usually spend our Monday afternoons talking about that. Did we think we answered that pretty good?
Yes.
Or did we? Should we have gone back and
said that?
We don't see these questions prior to.
No, we don't see these questions prior to coming on. We don't.
That's why sometimes I get quiet and just hear what Joe's going to say. And then once he messes up, I can come in.
Yeah,
and
fix it. Yeah, we're really good for one another. God bless.
Guys, please check us out at joemcgee.com. If you want to be a partner with this ministry, we need you.
Yes.
We're doing a lot of things that require a partner's.
Yes.
Support.
Yes, we would not be doing this today without our partners.
Absolutely.
This would not be possible. We would not have the studio. We could not do this. We'll reach so many people through our podcast than we could ever reach one-on-one. And we do 60 seminars a year, 50 to 60 a year. This is our 27th, 28th year. But we reach so many people through our podcast. We could not do that without the studio or this equipment here. And so we're reaching so many more. The numbers are incredible, what we're doing now. And so thank you. You're helping us do that. It's a great seed to sow.
If you get $5 a month or $500 a month,
every penny
is vital.
Yes.
Vitally important.
Yes. Thank you.
Joe has this new book called Man, Lover, Leader, and Provider. And this goes along with it, a teaching series. So you can check it out at joemcgee.com. Also, you can get our other podcasts. You can scroll through and listen to maybe one that you've missed or go back and say, hey, I want you to hear this one. And if you have any questions, send it to mail@joemcgee.com.
Check us out on Wednesday for our Common Sense podcast that we do. On Friday, we got a Heroes of Faith. It's loaded. It's not very long, about 10, maybe 12 minutes sometimes. But it's loaded. It's all scripture. It'll really encourage you.
You can also check us out on Facebook, Instagram,
yes,
and YouTube. So we love you, and we'll see you next week.
God bless, guys. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.